Please turn with me in your Bibles to the second letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 4. And reading the first part of verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 10. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And our subject this morning is Demas and this present world, or it could equally be given the title, The Mistake, the Great Mistake of Demas, because of the choice that he made. And I won't go into any context particularly for this letter, only to say, of course, that it is the letter of the Apostle Paul, written under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's writing to Timothy, who is a minister, a pastor. These letters, the letters to Timothy and to Titus, are known as the pastoral letters because they are written to pastors, to individuals, not to churches, not to the Ephesians or the Colossians. They are written to individuals who will be pastors, ministers of the church. They are the pastoral letters, and this is the second inspired letter to Timothy, and Timothy receives much instruction as to the nature of the ministry. He is instructed, even in this fourth chapter, to fight the good fight. That's what a minister must do, a pastor fighting that good fight. Well, every Christian must fight that good fight of faith, But here in this verse, well, he's just giving Timothy an update on the work, and he speaks specifically of a man by the name of Demas. And what do we learn about Demas in verse 10? That Demas has forsaken the Apostle Paul, which means that he has abandoned the Apostle Paul, or he has deserted Paul, he has left him. And why? What is the reason? Well, because he loves this present world. That is the reason why he has abandoned the Apostle Paul. But what exactly does that mean, that he loved this present world? Well, a great part of what that means is very straightforward. I'm sure we can work that out very much for ourselves. But there are also some important lessons that we can draw from Demas. We can actually learn quite a lot about Demas just from these very few words, this brief information about him. And so what I want us to do is to learn these lessons and to ask ourselves, of course, we always have to challenge ourselves, am I like Demas? Am I anything like Demas? This is going to be challenging for all of us this morning, for believers or for those who profess Christian faith, and for unbelievers, of course. But are we like Demas? If we are like Demas, that is not a good thing. But if we are not like Demas, if we are more like the Apostle Paul or like Timothy, well, that is, of course, a good thing, and we will consider together why exactly that is a good thing in the very brief time before us. This will be a brief and simple message, but challenging, I am sure, this morning. But first of all, what can we say about Demas? Let us get right into this. Well, the first thing we can say, or the first thing I would like to put to you, is that Demas was a divided man. He was a divided man. Now, I've already mentioned that Demas was with Paul, and he had been a companion to the Apostle Paul for some while. We read in the New Testament, or we can glean that he had assisted the Apostle Paul in his ministry. You will know, of course, that the Apostle Paul traveled from place to place with the gospel. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews, and Demas helped him. We read, Demas is mentioned not just here, he's mentioned in the letter to the Colossians and in Philemon, and he's mentioned as being a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul, somebody who greatly helped Paul and supported Paul, even when he was in prison. He was a close friend, and he was most certainly somebody who appeared to be not just a close friend of the Apostle Paul, but a follower of Christ. If anybody was to observe Demas and the things that he did and the work that he was engaged in, you would say to yourself, this man is a follower of Christ. He's on the side of Christ. He's on the side of Christians, and he loves the Lord. Surely anyone would have said that about him. And the Apostle Paul, no doubt, believed that of him for a considerable time until it all falls apart. Until we get to this letter, then we learn that Demas has forsaken Paul. He has now deserted Paul. He has departed from the faith. He has departed from Christian service. And now he is living his life entirely, well, really, all for himself. Demas, he now loves this present world. And this is so very sad. It's tragic. But this can happen, dear friends. In fact, I dare say that this happens quite often in the present time, in the present state of the church. It's quite common to have somebody who professes faith and somebody who appears to be a Christian and lives in some ways as a Christian, and does all the things that a Christian is meant to do, even perhaps serving in the church. Well, I've known people, they've even got baptized and everything that comes with being a Christian, and then suddenly, before you know it, they're gone. They've forsaken the church. They've forsaken Christ. They've forsaken the Lord, and they now live for this world, just like Demas did. Demas is not the only person who has done this. This is, in a way, a bad pattern. It has been the case throughout Christian history. So many people like this. They have done exactly what Demas did. And of course, we have to ask ourselves, could this happen to us? Any of us here? Could this happen to you? We have to be sure, of course, that it does not. We have to be sure that we are not like Demas in any way. Because you see, Demas, he was a divided person. He was a divided person. There was clearly some kind of affection for the Lord in Demas. Of course there was. He wouldn't have stayed around with the Apostle Paul for so long if he wasn't interested in Christ and in the gospel. He was interested in Christ and in the gospel, and he served in some way. There was a part of him that was greatly inclined to the Lord. But you see, here's the thing. There was another part of him who wanted the world. And this is very sad. A great part of him still wanted the world, the things of the world. He wanted the pleasures of this world. He wanted the entertainment of this world. Perhaps he wanted the wealth of this world. Some commentators think that Demas left the Apostle Paul to pursue some kind of business pursuit, as if to say, well, this world, it gives me more security than following after the Lord. Following after God, being religious, that's not going to get me anywhere. I need to have my business, have my money, have my finances. Instead of laying up treasure in heaven, he wants to lay up treasure on earth for his retirement. This will sort me out, this present world. You see, he was divided. And dear friends, if we are divided, this will never work. You cannot have both the world and Christ. You cannot have it. Sadly, there are many people who think they can. People who say, what's wrong with this? People who you could describe as being worldly Christians. What's wrong with having this world and God? Can we not do this? Can we not have both things? And they try desperately to do it. But you see, this is what Demas tried to do, and it didn't end very well for him. He was a divided man. It cannot work. You cannot have God and the world. You know, there is a verse in the New Testament, and it's not the Apostle Paul, it's the Apostle John in his letter. Love not the world. This is what he says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, the love of the world takes away any love for God. It takes away your love for God. This is what happened to Demas. He had in some way an affection for God. He did have, but you see, his love for the world took away his love for God. It undermined his love for God. And this is why we have to be so careful. This is why it cannot possibly work. You can't have both God and the world. What we must do instead, of course, is give ourselves entirely to the Lord. That's what we do as Christian people. If we are true believers, this is what we do. We give ourselves entirely to the Lord. We turn to the Lord. Lord, take all of my life, not just some of it. Lord, take all of my heart, not just some of it. This is what the Lord demands. And we give ourselves to him. This is what repentance is, of course. A true Christian repents, turning away from the world and trusting entirely in the Lord. The Lord will bless me. The Lord will provide for me. I belong to him. This is what we do. Love not the world. Dear friends, these are difficult things. By the way, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Many people make this great misunderstanding, or have this misunderstanding when you teach in this way. When you speak about repentance, people say to you, well, are you trying to say that I should have nothing to do with the world, that I give up my job and go and live as a monk or a nun? Of course not. We're not saying that. We are in the world. In fact, Christians, we ought to be in the world, relating to other people, working with other people, because this is the way we tell them about Christ. We don't go and hide ourselves away in nunneries or in monasteries. We are in the world, but we don't love the world. This is what Demas did. He loved this present world. He lived for it. He lived for what this world can give me and what I can achieve in this world. This is what he was living for. But a Christian lives for God. A Christian loves God. To please God, not for the things of this world. This is the difference, of course. And so this is how we are to live as believers. And this is so important. Remember where we read from Matthew chapter 4 earlier on. Remember how Satan attempted to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? Well, at one stage, the devil took the Lord up into a high mountain. You all remember it. And what did he do? He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them. This is what Satan does, of course. Satan always points us to the world, not to God. Always points us to the world. Look, look, Jesus. Look at all the glory of the world, the kingdoms of the world. Don't you want that? That's what Satan does. But remember what the Lord said to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We must serve the Lord and live for the Lord. We seek his approval, not the world's approval. We seek his riches, not earthly riches. And so, dear friends, I put this to you. It's a challenge for all of us gathered here. Am I divided? Do I want both the world and Christ? It cannot work. And in fact, I say this just by the way, If you are a believer and you are having a difficult time and you don't really know the nearness of the Lord and you are struggling with various things, perhaps this is the reason. Because you want the world and God. You're not willing to give up the world. You have to start by examining yourself. And then you will know the blessing of the Lord. So give yourself completely to the Lord, wholeheartedly, not a divided man like Demas. The heart of a true Christian belongs entirely to the Lord. So that's the first thing I wanted to say about Demas. The second thing, Demas, well, he was clearly under the power of the present. He was under the power of the present, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, so many people in this world, this is what they are living for the present. The present is the here and now, and they have no thought for the future. This was the great error of Demas. Let me live for the here and now, for the present time. No thought at all for what was to come. No thought for the future. And when you live like that, when you live in the power of the present, you're actually living in the power of sin. When you live for the here and now, you're actually living under the influence of sin, because this is the nature of sin. Sin and temptation always focuses on the present time, the here and now. Sin, if I can put it this way, sin doesn't care about your future. Sin doesn't care about the consequences of what you are about to do. It just tells you, just take what you want now, the present. That's the nature of sin. Have what you want now. Don't wait. Don't think about what might be the consequences. Just take it now. That's what it is to be under the power of sin, to live in the present. Just give in to temptation. And this is, well, I always say this, this is the first lesson of the Bible. This was the case in the Garden of Eden, the first sin. Adam and Eve, take the fruit, the forbidden fruit, Satan again. Don't worry about the consequences. Don't think about the future. Put that all out of your mind. It's the present. Look, this fruit is in front of you. You can take it, you can eat it. Forget the consequences. Forget anything that's to follow. And what did they do? Well, they took it and there were terrible consequences. This is how sin works. We can all, in all of our lives, we have many examples of when we have just lived for the present, my wants, my desires, I must have this. We haven't thought about the future at all, and it has cost us dearly. We all know this. This is the trick that Satan plays on us. This is the trick that sin plays on us. Just live for the present. Don't think about the future at all. And dear friends, this is so terrible. This is such a great mistake. We must think of the future. We must think, well, beyond this present world. You know, there is a world to come. I know most of you know this. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. This world is not the only world. He would constantly say, there is this world and the world to come. Several times, more than that, he would say in his teachings, this world and the world to come. It's not just this world and that's it. And then we all die and then there's nothing. That's not the teaching of Scripture. That's not true. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth, who speaks nothing but the truth, he tells us very clearly, there is this world and then there is the world to come. Are we prepared for that world? The Christian is, of course. The Christian is prepared for this world. The Christian is preparing himself for the next world, for the world to come. This is why Christians live holy lives, because we know that we're going to a holy place, the world to come. We're not just living holy lives just to be holy. We're living holy lives because we're going to a holy place. This is why we learn of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just to be religious, but because we know that we will be with him forever and ever in the world to come. We are preparing ourselves. This is our very reason and our point and our vocation here. But what about the unbeliever? Well, the unbeliever, well, this is what we have to say to unbelievers, and this is what we do say to unbelievers. For an unbeliever, their time in this present world will soon come to an end, of course. You don't have to be religious to believe that. We all come to the very end of our lives. And then what will that person do? The person who has lived for this world, who has loved this world, the person who preferred the present rather than the future. Don't think about the future at all. The person who preferred the physical rather than the spiritual. That's, again, what we can say of people who live for this world. They prefer the physical rather than the spiritual. Well, dear friends, what do we say to them? Well, when you leave this life, all the things that you have, all the possessions that you have, well, you will have to say goodbye to them. There is again in the scriptures in the New Testament another verse of the Apostle Paul, this time in his first letter to Timothy. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. All your material possessions, all the things that you accumulated, all the things that you lived for, you can't take them with you. When you go into the next world, when you pass into eternity, they're no good to you at all. And this will be the great tragedy. You know, the only thing that you can take with you into the next world is Christ. You should have chosen Christ. He is the only thing that you can take with you. Nothing else. Everything else you have to leave behind. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have him. You should choose him. The only connection between this world and the next, the only bridge between this world and the next, you must have him. But Demas has forsaken him, and he has loved this present world. And well, this brings me to my third and my final point this morning. Demas was a foolish man. He was a foolish man. Without Christ, if you have made no provision at all for the day of your death, where does the soul go when we die? Well, we're not going to go into great detail as to that terrible place that the soul goes, only to say it is a terrible place. It's a place of eternal loss, a place of eternal sorrow. But let me emphasize this morning. It is a place of eternal regret. A place of eternal regret. You know, every single person who has passed into eternity without Christ, they wish that they could be where we are now. They wish that they could be in a place such as we are now, in this place of worship, to hear the word of God. They wish that they would have another chance of being saved. That is so very true. That's what hell is. Everybody there, they regret. I heard the gospel so many times. I had the opportunity so many times. And yet I turned away from it, and now I have an eternity of regret. An eternity of regret. Dear friends, this is so sad. You have the opportunity now. If you don't have the Lord, if you are without Christ, you have the opportunity now to do that which they cannot do. You have the opportunity to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to him. You must come to him now and turn to him and believe in what Christ has done. Believe that he has suffered and died for you. All the sins that will send you to hell, they have been placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffers your hell for you, so you don't have to. He has stood condemned in your place I will suffer for my people. They believe in me. They believe I am a savior. I will save them. And I will take the punishment for their sin. Dear friends, all those who have passed from this life, they wish they could believe in this gospel. Just one more opportunity. You have this opportunity now, in this time. Are you going to reject it? You're going to turn away from it and instead face yourself with eternal regret. What a terrible, terribly foolish thing that would be. Dear friends, we must turn to the Lord and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He was forsaken. Oh, the irony. Demas forsook the Lord. He forsook the Apostle Paul. He forsook the faith. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was forsaken of God for us. God forsook him on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because of us, for all those who believe. Dear friends, you see the contrast. Don't forsake him. He has been forsaken of God for you. So, dear friends, these are the 3 points. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What more can I say to try and convince you out of living for this present world? Well, perhaps I can say this. This world is a doomed world. Again, you all know this very well. This present world, it's only a present world. It's not going to last forever. It's only a present world. It's only temporary. One day Christ will come and bring an end to this world, to this present world. Dear friends, you must be prepared for that day. This is the whole point of this present world. So many people ask this question, what is the meaning of life? What is the point of us being here? The point of us being here is so that you will be prepared for the day when Christ comes. That's the point of you living and breathing on this earth. This is why you are here, so that you may seek and find the Lord before it is too late. If you don't want that point, well, then there is no hope for you. There is no salvation for you at the very end. Dear friends, don't be like Demas. Give your heart completely to the Lord. Repent and have faith. Don't just believe that God exists. Repent, turn yourself wholly to the Lord. Live for him entirely. Be a true, genuine, sincere Christian, not somebody who was fake, who was forfeit. Demas, a fake Christian. And he lived for this present world. Demas, well, he would die with this present world if he didn't repent. That is the portion for anyone who does not believe. But Christ has come that we may live for him and live in everlasting peace and joy. Turn to him this day.